Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. We've got a practicum call, which is one of my favorite types of calls. But before we jump into our practicum, let's take a moment and get centered. So I invite you, wherever you are, to close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. And to begin to focus on your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in life. As you exhale, release. Really using the breath to connect deeply with your body. Really using the breath to connect deeply with yourself, with your wisdom. Inhaling, opening up, taking up as much space as you need. Exhaling and letting go. Releasing. And as you breathe in this way, begin to call all the parts of yourself back home. Any parts you may have left in other places, experiences, situations, call all of you back home to you. And from this place, scanning your body and finding, seeing if you can sense where you're holding your inner wisdom the most today. Maybe it's in your heart, your belly, your throat, your pinky. Where are you holding your inner wisdom today? Where is it residing the most today? You don't need to overthink this. Just find, naturally let yourself find the place. And wherever that is, just focus on it. Send breath there. Connect with your inner wisdom. And ask your inner wisdom, what is it that you need to know today? What is it that you need to know? And then taking another deep breath in and out. Allowing your eyes to flutter open. Bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Okay, so this is our second to last class. Next Tuesday, we have our very last class, and I want to remind you that it's a 3-hour, it's a double class. It's a biggie. We're going to be looking both at ritual as a coaching and transformational tool, as well as next steps, processes. A lot of you have asked me, what happens when I come to the end of a cycle with a client and I want them to renew, or there's a possibility of them to renew? What do I do so that they renew? And so one of the things that we're going to be looking at together next week is I'm going to be giving you a step-by-step process of how to hold space for somebody else and how to guide them through, so that if they're meant to continue working with you, you have the best chance of them re-signing with you. It's also a good exploration of how to end a cycle with a client, whether they're continuing or not. What are some of the, back to containers, right? Like, what are some of the important ways to end a cycle with a client? And we'll also be doing some fun, juicy look at ritual. So it's a great class. It's very interactive, like last week's class on journaling was, and like today's class. So I hope that you will be there live and participate. So for today, we've got a practicum. We've got Suzanne is going to be coaching Cho. And it's an opportunity for all of us, for every single one, to go deeper into integrating all that we've learned in sacred depth. So as you guys know, it's great that Suzanne is going to be coaching and she'll get a lot out of it, but all of us observing in many ways will get even more learning out of it, because we're going to get to kind of be that fly on the wall and really, like, with our coaching hats on, our transformational hats on, we're going to be able to really assess what Suzanne is doing, how she's doing it, what's working, what's not working, what are the skills she's using, what could she have done differently, all the pieces. So there's so much learning that's available here today. So first, I just want to ask all of you to take a moment, now that we're really starting to wind down, we're getting to the end of our journey together. What is it that you really want to receive from our session today? Maybe for you, you want to go deeper into questioning skills and really, pay attention to everything, but particularly to questioning skills. Or maybe for you it's about confidence in general, or integrating a particular this or that or the other thing, right? So for you, what is it that you really want to receive from our time together today? Good. So whatever it is, I want you to keep it top of mind as you're observing and as you're listening. And we'll do this the same way as a couple sessions ago when we had our practicum and Stephanie was coaching Maggie. In a moment, I'll bring on Suzanne and I'll ask her a couple questions. And then we'll just get to it. Suzanne will have about 22 minutes to coach Cho, which is a short period of time, right? Most of the time our sessions are going to be longer. Our regular sessions will be longer than that amount of time. So she may not get to the end of it, right? But we're going to be looking for all of the things that happen in that conversation so that we can learn. All right, so all that being said, let me get Suzanne. Suzanne, can you raise your hand? Because I'm not sure which. Oh, here we go. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to hear you coach.
Awesome.
So first, just tell us, how are you feeling about it? I know it's a lot to get in front of everybody and coach.
I was feeling really nervous, and also it's really early here, but I'm actually feeling really good now. I think that welcoming, setting the scene, coming in really helps. So thank you for that.
Good. Good. I'm so glad to hear it. And a little bit of nervousness is totally fine and, you know, to be expected too, if there's some of that rolling around. So for you, Suzanne, what is one of your edges that you really want to be conscious of to stretch today?
The biggest thing for me was simply volunteering. It was the confidence to be witnessed, like to coach in front of others. I like when you ask our intention, what we want to receive today, what I've written down here is, at the end of last year, I presented at an in-person conference, and we were given these little cards, like feedback compliment cards at the end. I still haven't read those, Joanna. They're sitting here on my desk. So I was really hoping by this experience and like putting myself forward, you know, once again, that I'd be more open to receive feedback.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's such a big and important thing to be open to receiving feedback. Beautiful. And I'm going to press you a little bit also just on the skills piece or the presence piece. So when you're actually going to be coaching, what's a growth edge for you?
I think creating awareness.
Creating awareness
is something creating awareness, clarity for me, like not assuming that I know what they mean by something. So like, you know, creating awareness, asking for definitions, getting really clear on what the client wants to receive. And it's another thing to be aware of, because I am doing this in front of a group. It's not about me. Do you know what I mean? So it's like being really present with Cho and getting clear on what she wants to get from this. So, yeah.
Okay, great. I'm making a note of that, because that's one of the things that we'll take a look at when we assess. All right, so I'm going to bring Cho on in a second. Just as a reminder for everybody, really use your deep listening skills as the coaching happens. And I want you to think about all of the skills that we've looked at in Sacred Depth. So think about the energetics that are happening in the container. Think about the listening, the filters, creating all the different ways of creating awareness, whether it's reflecting hard truths or mirroring or acknowledging, honoring what is, celebrating. Think about the types of questions that Suzanne are asking. Think about the strategizing piece. Is there strategizing happening? Is there visioning that's happening? How is it happening? Accountability. In one way or another, I'm sure an obstacle will come up, and Suzanne will have her choice of, you know, befriending fear or rewiring negative thought patterns or working with the wheel of self-sabotage or the myth of perfection or, you know, any of the things. We don't know which of those will come up. But be on the lookout for all of that. I want to invite you all to be noting what Suzanne is doing really well you know, what's really striking you around what she's doing really well. And I also want you to know what you might do differently if you were coaching in the situation. And I also want to invite you to know, do you have any questions for Suzanne, like why she chose one question versus another, or one thread to follow, one thread versus another, you know, whatever it is. All right, let me get Cho. I saw her a second ago. Where'd you go? Cho, can you raise your hand? I thought I saw you. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, it was a little hard to get on the internet call before, so I called in with my phone just in case. But then it came through.
Good. I'm so glad you're here. I thought I saw you and then I didn't. But anyway, thank you. Thank you to the both of you for volunteering and be willing. Suzanne, you've got about 22 minutes. I'll let you know when the 22 minutes are up, and you'll still have, like, if you need another 30 seconds or so to wrap up from there. But and you don't have to, just so before we go in, like, if you normally, you know, do a meditation in the beginning of a call or anything like that, you know, you can assume that you don't have to necessarily do that if you want to just jump in. And so I'll let you take it away.
Wait. Hi, Cho. How are you today?
I'm good.
That's good. And what would you like to receive from coaching today?
Well, I would like to, I would say there's always an aspect of clarity about the, I would say, the process of my thinking process. I noticed that I tend to want to, you know, sign up for more classes to, you know, get more educated. There's this aspect of preparing. I'm guessing it's, yeah. And looking, I mean, really what, like, shed light on this was this pandemic, that I suddenly was like, I need to, like, go back and get, like, maybe I need a different degree. Maybe, like, I need to do, you know, to get more certified in something. I mean, I know that there's a safety aspect to it, of, like, kind of feeling safe, but... And, well, I should say, and so there's something that, there's something in the process, I think, that happens that then I, like, sign up for lots of things, and there's no, I guess, end goal, like, how, like, the clarity.
It's just,
like, more the more, you know, like...
this is great. So just to get even more clear, tell me about, like, you were talking about preparing and this getting more educated to feel safe. What is it that you're looking for?
I can reframe.
What do you really want? Like, by doing this process.
So what I want is that no matter what, I have a livelihood, kind of thing. That kind of, like, there's a security that I can always make money. It's definitely a security. You know, having security.
Yeah. So, by the time we're done with our coaching today, with this in mind, this security, what do you want to walk away with?
It's so funny because I keep going back to the reason why, like, that my reasoning of being secure
is more blah blah blah.
To actually like realistically, you know, see what's true or not, if that's really true, because I can talk myself into
And what do you think would help you find that?
Well, one, evidence, actual evidence, like this is what some, this is how, you know, like the path, that's usually why, what leads me to wanting to, you know, take a training, because then you have.
Oh, sorry, it dropped out for a second. Are you there? Hello? Oh, have I dropped out?
No, you haven't. Let me see. Sounds like something happened to Cho. Hold on a second.
No worries.
Yeah, looks like she... Oh, no, she just got muted. Hold on a second. I don't know why that happened. Are you there, Cho?
Yeah.
Okay, that was weird. We couldn't hear you for a second.
Yeah, so just like it cut out, and then I heard a bling. You're now connected. Like it seemed to like
pop you out. So that means that what you were saying was important. Why don't you guys go ahead?
Yeah. Okay. So I can't.
Thank
okay, so
you.
What part did you not hear? Was a.
So I said, what did you want to walk away with? And you were saying, realistically, you need to see, you know, what's true, like actual evidence. And then I didn't hear anything after that.
Okay, so evidence, so like, for instance, like evidence, like, oh, I have a certification and a licensure. For me, that's like evidence of, you know, that that will work, you know, that that is validity. The need, you know, that people will spend money on it, you know, that's that. That
So I just want to clarify like what I'm hearing. So what you'd like to receive today, a clarity about this thinking because you're signing up for these classes and feeling this need to get more educated, and that's been brought to the front by the pandemic, and looking for this feeling of safety by getting more certified. But what you really, what's going on underneath that is this actual evidence. Is that what you're after?
Well, I think that where my thinking goes is if I get a certification, that is evidence of like the safety and security of it, right? That it's kind of like no matter what happens, because even though I've got 18 years experience and hands-on, it was really like, okay, in a situation like this where hands-on was not possible, the pivot wasn't going to happen. Like, it just was so foreign to me. And that I felt like I need to do something else, to have something else under my belt, which gives me that kind of, you know, like freedom and flexibility, and also just kind of like know that no matter what, I will be able to make a living that way, you know. And I know it's a survival thing too, like, it's just really like I was just kind of like going all over the place, you know, and it wasn't focused.
So from what you were just saying, because you said hands-on was not possible, before pandemic, what was your business? Obviously a hands-on thing. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, I do Chinese medicine, acupuncture, herbs, body work. I have a brick-and-mortar practice, a physical office. And zero telemedicine. And then during the pandemic, I did like one or two maybe sessions with some of my patients. But that's not my model. and it didn't, and so I was like, you know what, my model is, in general, I would say, like, it's flawed if it can't kind of weather certain situations, right? So maybe I need to do something to make sure, you know, it's like what happens if a comet hits the Earth? How will I? Yeah. So I think a lot of people were caught off, but that's their thing. But for me, I need to be proactive about it. And, you know, that means that in the future there could be something. And so I'm not just going to wait around. I need to, you know.
Yeah. And how has your model of delivery, like your work, changed now or modified since pandemic?
I'm back in the office and I'm seeing a few patients. So it basically, I, you know, waited it out, connected, you know, wrote a book, did lots of, as much visibility in terms of that, but in terms of income, it didn't generate income. Like there wasn't really a substitution for it, right?
Yeah. I just want to say congratulations on writing a book. That's amazing. How does that feel?
How's it feel? Well, it's in pre-order, and it hit bestseller in the pre-order in a couple of categories on Amazon. And
yay!
I mean, there'll be a designed course, you know, a course that'll go with it. So that'll, like, happen over the next 6 months. I'm in a group with Marianne Williamson, so she's going to be promoting the book. There are a lot of things that are happening, but it was just like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Have you taken time to celebrate that?
Celebrate
the finishing the book, going into pre-order, it hitting the bestseller, like, have you celebrated the achievement of that?
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, I'm kind of on to the next. It's like, it's not over, you know, like, that's the feeling. It's like, to the next, like, complete.
Yeah. And what do you think's underneath that?
What's that?
What do you think underneath that? That feeling of going on to the next thing.
I mean, to finish it? Well, because I invested a lot of money and I haven't seen a return on it. So there's a little bit of concern that I'll lose money, like, yeah, that I won't make the money back. And especially since even more so because I wasn't earning any money during the pandemic. So it was a big,
So I'd just like to reflect something back that I'm seeing here. You haven't said it directly. So, just let me know if this is, you know, on the right path. Earlier when we were talking about going from the thinking process of preparing, getting more educated, getting more certified to feel safe, and then you were talking about, like, will people spend money on it? And you were saying the certification gives you that feeling of validity, but then also talking about, like, no matter what, being able to make a living and survival. Is there something there with the money aspect, like the return, not just the certificate, but the financial return from your efforts?
Yeah, definitely. You mean whatever I invested to make money back from it? I hope so, yes. I mean, I'm looking at it over time. It doesn't have to be in the next few months. It's just like over time. Yeah.
Mm. And is there any belief or is there anything there, any fear about not getting that return over time?
I don't think it was a mistake what I did. But I mean, I do buy things and then don't use them, kind of. So there is a little bit about the wasting. that will that shows up. You know, like I shouldn't be, you know, taking and doing things that are wasteful. You know, that you know, that there needs to be some purpose to it.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say you buy things and you don't use them, when do you decide to invest your time in the things that you've bought? Like, you've obviously invested time to write the book and have that all ready to go, and you've invested time in this program because you're on the call right now with me. But and other things that you're doing that feel wasteful, what's the difference there?
It's interesting. It's like I want to, let's say if I like want to read a book, like I see a book, like, oh, I really want to read that book. So it's like I'll get it and I have it there for, you know, it's almost like I'm saving it, like I want it.
Mm.
Or there's a funny aspect to it of acquiring it, of having it and saving it. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, it makes total sense.
A little bit of hoarding, the hoarding of programs and,
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I call it shiny object syndrome. But with the hoarding of the programs and the books, what's underneath that?
Well, definitely there was an aspect of, you know, not enough. I mean, I know there was a fine line in I'm improving myself, you know, like always bettering myself and cultivating, and then it could flip over because I'm not enough, right? Like,
yeah.
And that can, like, flip easily. So one, I'm, like, doing better and better, and then the other, it can come from because I'm not good enough. And then I'll compare.
Yeah, and what? Oh, compare yourself. To what?
To anybody else in my field, to if it seems like they're doing great, and I'm like, well, I don't understand, like, how is it that I don't think I'm doing so good? Like, because, you know, it, in terms of my assessment of, you know, how other people are doing.
Mm-hmm. And does that hold you back at all?
Comparing?
Mm.
It can. It can make me go like, oh, you know what? I need to get more certain. Like, maybe I'm not skilled enough. Maybe I need more tools. I need to prove myself. Is that like, so that could definitely kick in. Sure.
And so does that drive the purchasing of the courses?
It can. It can. I'll give you an example. It's not a terrible example. So I was asked to do on a site that does CBD reviews, and they're owned by the same company that I'm a advisor or, you know, expert, the contributor for sleep. And they said, okay,
yep.
We're going to offer you with your background to be also an expert contributor on our CBD review website. And I was like, they're like, what's your background in herbs? And I was like, but my level of CBD and tea, like all of that medicinal, you know, marijuana is extremely limited, like very limited. So I decided I have to take a course in medical medicinal before I can actually give my opinion about CBD and stuff. And I researched month training on medicinal uses and stuff like that. But I ended up just signing up with Coursera for one at University of Colorado. But it's like reading research papers. It's so dense and stuff. I'm like, ugh. I don't really know if it's going to make a difference. Like, that's the thing, like, in the, like, just drudging through that material.
Yeah. So how did they approach you in the first place to be the expert reviewer?
How did it affect me to be?
Oh, no, sorry. Because you said you were asked to be on the site. How did they approach you? Like, what was it? What was it of yours that got their attention?
Okay, so it was for a company called, like, it's a sleep mattress, like, the best sleep mattress or something like that. I had written an article about sleep. Like, what happens if you don't get enough sleep? Like, will your body die? Would you die? You know, something. And so they used my they quoted me, and I'd done a lot of research. And so then they asked me if I would be, like, an expert contributor, you know. And so I was like, that would be great. And so that's what it was. And then this is a sister site that they run. So then they asked me, they said, do you think you'd be a really good fit for this because of your background? But I mean, they think so.
They think so. Well, they wouldn't have asked. So, and did you take time to really allow yourself to receive that, like to be excited about being approached?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I would love to, you know. But then I was like, well, wait, what do they think about me? Like, they think something, but then in the end, like, if someone asks me, like, you know, what's the difference between THC and CBD and what's a cabinet, like that kind of stuff, that I was like, oh, I need to really be able to hone up on my stuff.
Yeah, and it seems to be a pattern for you. Is that in other areas of your life outside of business as well?
What, to
learn, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm like America's, you know, test kitchen. I will look at every possible recipe for something and go through many, many different, you know, kind of like experiments with it. Like, try this, try that, mm-hmm. try this, until I perfect it, until I can execute it, like, easily.
Mm-hmm.
Or just kind of like, that's the, yeah, I mean, let's see.
I'd love to go down this line because this has piqued my interest as well, but I'm very aware of time and wanting to link back to, you know, what we were talking about at the beginning and what you wanted to receive.
Right, okay.
So... it's cool. Sorry, mm-hmm. go ahead.
No, what I was saying, like, as we're talking about it, I realize that with, like, small things, I can do that because they're very bite-sized, and that actually works for me. It'll kind of, like, compare and, like, do the da-da-da-da-da, like, comparing all of those things and then picking, like, going broad and then to narrow, and then I go deep, right? I go back, scan, narrow down, and then I go super deep into it. But with this other thing that we were talking about, it's very hard for me to do that broad. I mean, I am broad scanning, you know, various possibilities before I would, like, go deep. So part of that, I think, is my, you know, buying or doing different programs or buying different books. And then eventually I, you know, go in, but adding to my career stuff, I think, is it's a bigger thing in terms of decision. So it's hard. I'm not really getting the feedback that I need. That's what with.
Yeah. Who are you not getting that feedback from?
The demand, like, I'm not even sure where to look, like, the groups, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm in different groups, and I'm listening to, you know, there are lots of naturopathic doctors, there are lots of functional medicine people, there are, you know, like, they're, like, all, like, in those groups, you know, what is happening for them and how they're succeeding, like, and so, trying to navigate if that's something that I would want to do or could do or add on.
And what are you actioning from what you're learning in those groups?
Well, research schools, research programs, online courses, whatever, you know, the time it would take, the commitment, the outcome, you know, how I would fold it into what I'm doing. I mean, I don't think I'm going to give up what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure it will have to transition in some way.
Yeah. And
Suzanne, you've got
about a minute. Okay, awesome. All right. So this is what are you taking away from the coaching we've just done today, Troy?
What I'm taking away is that I'm noticing that I am approaching the same way that I might approach a recipe or something else, like when I do research, that I'm trying to apply it in the same way with decisions about, my career or, like what would make things feel stable. And I don't know if that's really going to work.
And why is that important?
Why is that important to know? That means that I may need to rethink my methodology.
Yeah.
I need to think of a different method. But I don't know what that method would be. Like, I don't know what it would, like, how it would give me the answer that I'm looking for.
Just for homework, that might be a really good journaling exercise for you to write about, you know, doing the research and what you're actually going to get from that research that you're doing, like what you're looking for and maybe how that links to the security.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what comes up there.
Okay.
Anything else? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm actually going to – it does make sense. It just occurred to me that when I'm researching, like, am I choosing something, like, what is attractive to it?
Yeah.
Versus – yeah. I mean, if I really want stability, I should open up a pizza store.
It'd be interesting to see what comes out when you write about that.
I'm gonna pause you guys there. I feel like you're
awesome.
You're in a good place.
Okay,
good. Yay! Thank you to the both of you. All right. So great work. Really, really great work, Suzanne. I want to start with you. What do you feel like you did? And Cho, I'm going to come back to you in a little bit. Suzanne, name something that you feel really good about. Like, what's something that you did really well in that conversation?
I think I went back to my focus and asked a lot of clarifying questions or definition questions to get clear on what Cho meant by what she was bringing up.
Yeah, I agree. Definition questions, and also there were just clarification questions that I think were important because you didn't have her whole story. You know, sometimes we can get scared to ask some clarifying questions. We think we need to know everything, but that's not the case. It's helpful for us to get the information and for the person to articulate it. So even just asking, sure, like, what were you doing before the pandemic? How has that model changed? Were important to the conversation. Good. All right. Let's hear from some of you. And Cho, feel free to participate in this as well, you know, from the practitioner standpoint or from client standpoint. What are some things that Suzanne did really well? What did you note that she did really well? Star two. Swati.
Hi. Thank you. This is so great. And I really appreciated how Suzanne tried to get very clear on Chao's intention at the beginning.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to rush into the coaching, and I clearly saw that Suzanne, you know, had some questions in the beginning, and she made it a point to get clarity on the intention, on what she wanted to receive.
Yeah, 100%. That was done really well and really masterfully. So she started the conversation off by asking, what would you like to receive? Which, you know, as everybody knows, we always want to start with that, some version of that question. And, you know, Cho answered that she signs up for lots of things, but in the end doesn't have clarity. You know, she shared a bunch of important pieces, but it was unclear what she really wanted from the session. And so Suzanne continued to lean in, and she asked, so what is it that you're looking for? And Cho answered security. But even that, you know, it was like, that's not totally clear. Like, is she looking to feel secure by the end of the session? You know, what is it that she's really looking for? And so Suzanne really took the time and continued, and she asked, by the time we're done with our coaching today, what is it that you want to walk away with, right? And that's when the intention really got set. Cho answered, you to see what's realistically true when it comes to all of these things that I'm signing up for. And even that needed a bit more clarification. I think, Suzanne, you did a really great job. I think it could have even gotten more clear from there. It eventually did throughout the conversation. But it really did. It was a great illustration of the importance of really setting the intention at the beginning. Thanks, Swati.
Thank you.
Who else? Star 2. What else did Suzanne do really well? There's about 16 of us on the call, so, you know, raise your hand. Other people, you know, if everybody's waiting for someone else to raise their hand, we're not going to get there. So who else? What did Suzanne do really well? Don't be shy. Who is this? 1490.
That's Christine R.
Hey, Christine.
Hi. I thought Suzanne did a really good job of staying with her as she, you know, as we kind of went through the clarifying, and then other things came up, and, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we went this way, and I felt Suzanne did a really good job of, like, staying with her, staying beside her, and letting her know that she was hearing what she was saying when she was saying it.
Yes. Yeah, that was very clear. She was with her. She was tracking her. And also, you know, even just the you know, which Suzanne did a lot. You know, we may each have our own style in terms of how we acknowledge or let a client know that we get what they're saying, and what they're saying is important, and that we're hearing them and seeing them. And Suzanne did a great job of that throughout. Thank you.
Thank you.
April.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was along kind of the same lines. Suzanne's great at tracking and reiterating back, like pulling you back into, because we can all sort of go down this rabbit hole of the thing, the explanation, and she brings her back with really great questions, just right spot on, like, and what did that feel like, and you know, is there any belief or fear in the thing, so that Cho would pause and then answer, and we would get more clear on where it was going. And I love that she gave her a moment to check into celebrating publishing a book. That's a really big deal. And it sounded almost as if Cho was like, okay, yeah, for a minute, but I'm on to the next thing, which again shows a bit of the pattern. And then Suzanne does come up and suggest that there is a pattern happening. So there's a lot going on. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, agreed. And the celebration of the book was really important, right? It's like, you know, Cho just kind of quickly mentioned, oh, I happened to write a book. It's got, you know, pre-ordered, top of review, whatever it was.
Right.
And, you know, like that acknowledging. And then did you guys hear it? There was a mismatch between the celebration that Suzanne was acknowledging and the energy in Cho's voice about that
yes.
celebration, right? There was a clear mismatch. Cho clearly just wanted to move on to get to the next thing or wasn't really buying this, you know, this acknowledgement. And Suzanne was able, you know, to pull out that Cho doesn't really make much of her celebrations. Now, if it were a longer session, I think that that's a thread that could have been picked up and really related to this idea of security, because how can anyone ever feel secure or the good enough piece that came about towards the end if you aren't fully receiving and acknowledging your accomplishments and seeing them as enough? Because Cho was saying, like, she never feels good enough, how's she ever going to get to that place of feeling more secure without that celebrations piece? Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks,
so,
oh, go ahead.
Can I ask one more thing quickly?
Yeah.
Right there, I wrote in my book, do you trust your knowledge? Do you trust what you know? Because she knows a lot. How would you ask that question? Not just to blurt out, do you trust yourself, but like as a journaling question at the end. So that just came up for me.
Yeah,
I feel there's
so,
just a lack of trusting her own superpowers.
Yeah. So that could be a great, I think in that case, like that is a good, you know, like I say, usually yes or no questions, you don't want to ask so much, but that
yeah.
could be, if placed in the, you know, in the right moment, that could be a powerful yes or no question for the client to really kind of come face to face with the fact that they don't really trust themselves. Or another variation on that might be you have, you know, to say clearly have so much experience. You said you've been doing this for 18 years. I happen to know more about Cho. I would add in there, you teach this to other people. You are a sought-out expert, a sought-out writer. At what point did you stop trusting yourself?
Yeah.
So that would take it out of the yes or no, still create the awareness around it, but then kind of hopefully take it deeper into naming where this lack of self-trust began, what, you know, and to see more about what's going on there.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Siobhan.
Hi. So everybody, I agree with what everybody said, and thank you both for volunteering, because that would have been scary for me, especially to be the coach. Here's the thing, right? As I wrote down what I was going to say, Joanna, you brought up a piece of it. I loved, and at first I wasn't able to verbalize this, but I loved how Suzanne modeled the affect of celebration. So that when she was, you know, bringing that up to Cho, because I sensed that Cho was up in her head a lot, like not connecting emotionally. And so when, Suzanne, when she would ask her about the celebration, you could feel it in Suzanne, right? She was actually kind of modeling mm-hmm. that for her, and I just love that.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, that's great. You did a book. You could hear that excitement and that celebration
yes.
and that honoring
yeah.
in the way Suzanne acknowledged and celebrated her. Yeah, 100%. And that's really important, right? It's you know, this goes back to energy follows energy. Of course, words mm-hmm. are always important, but it's not just the words, it's the energy that we say the words in.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else? What else did Suzanne do really well? Star two. I want to check in before I talk too much. Okay. So a lot was already shared, but I'm going to add a couple of pieces. Let's see. We may have hit a lot of what. At one point, I didn't make a note of what Cho had said right before Suzanne said this, but at one point, Suzanne said, I can totally relate. And that's an important acknowledging moment, right? That's an important validation moment. So letting our clients know that we can relate to them. We get it. That's another way of helping them feel seen and heard. There's a great question. Cho used the word hoarding, which was, I thought was really interesting. And Suzanne asked, well, what's underneath the hoarding? It's a great question, right? It's open-ended, but it can, you know, it can go in a lot of different directions. But Suzanne picked up that there was something important there. There's some other questions I would have asked in that section, but I'll get to that later. And then I loved at the end, you know, as we know to do for the container, Suzanne asked, what are you taking away? And Cho answered. But what I loved was that Suzanne asked that follow-up question. I think that Suzanne, you sensed that Cho, or at least this was my feeling as I was listening, like Cho was answering, and she was taking away what she said, but she wasn't fully feeling it. And so Suzanne asked just this follow-up question, so why is that important? And that what that question did, as I was listening, I felt like it helped Cho just integrate, feel more what she was saying her takeaway was, as well as lead her to some applied action. That's when they started talking about the methodology piece a little bit more. And she gave her homework, right, which another important piece in the container. All right. Cho, let me ask you, let me see if I can get you back here. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Thank you. From a client perspective, what's one thing that you really appreciated from the conversation with Suzanne?
Well, I appreciated, I would say that I could tell that she was listening and she did, repeat it back to me for clarity. And also that I didn't feel like she had an agenda. Like sometimes like working with someone, they're like, they want to get to the point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not, I'm so glad you're bringing that up. It's important, right? Because usually then the agenda is the practitioner's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Not the client's agenda. Sometimes as a practitioner, I have an agenda, but I am very clear about it. I'll say, this is my agenda, but it may not be yours. Let me know. you know, so every now and again, I might do that. But in general, that's right. Like we don't, if we're just trying to get to the end or just trying to check the box, we may miss some important pieces mm-hmm. along the way.
Yeah. And actually, it was interesting because as I was answering the questions, I was also listening to myself, and it occurred to me that, you know, the whole, my process that I have of scanning and, you know, sorting through, that it works for certain things.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm doing like experimentation, I can clearly be like, this is how you do it. I can tell you, I've done it,
mm-hmm.
and I know what I'm talking about. But with this is a little different. You know,
yeah.
I figuring out like what would I need to like. Do I need to add something to my repertoire, or what is it? Like I do feel that there is something
mm-hmm.
that I'm definitely going to be doing. The approach though is not.
Yeah.
Helping me feel secure, like it's not really working.
Yeah. Where I mean, tell me if you agree with this, if I'm getting it, where I really felt you got to by the end of the conversation is an awareness and an opening up to a more effective way of assessing what you actually need. Versus kind of blindly out of fear just saying like I need to add something else, and that whatever this new methodology is going to help you find whatever that thing is, not from the not good enough place, but from a more objective what's actually needed here.
Yeah, to actually do it over to see, I guess what it would be like is actually see those steps meeting the goal. Like,
yeah.
Like this is the step to be taken. Even
yeah.
though
as opposed to just hoarding more trainings for a sense of false security that you have more trainings under your belt.
Yeah, yeah. So even if it's like going something that I really am looking at, East-West psychology out in California, you know, we'll see how that would, like, it's something that I'm so fascinated by, and I would love it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to take, like, 3 years. And the urgency of feeling like I need to change right away kind of makes me go, I don't know, or
yeah.
it's too long, you know, and so, but that's not accurate. Like,
100%. 100%. And that actually brings to, there's some other threads that I think could have been picked up on a little bit more in the conversation that would help you even more with what you're saying right now. So I think that's a great segue. So I'm actually going to bring Suzanne back on. Hold on a second here. Where are you, Suzanne? Suzanne, I can't find your number again. Can you just raise your hand again? Start to. There you are. So what's something that you might have done differently? And it doesn't have to be what I just mentioned, you know, different threads, but if you could go back, like, what's something that you may have done a little bit differently?
I was trying to noodle around the survival the certification versus the survival to actually making income, like seeing if there was a thread there, but I couldn't get a question that like I could get clarity on if what I was seeing there, like and then later when Cho spoke about the always bettering self because I'm not good enough, I tried to delve in there too, but I don't know, like, and then I was confused in myself, like, is this my filter? I have a very similar thing happening, and I was like, so is this, you know, so I found myself a little bit flailing there, and also too I was wary of time because I thought, well, maybe we could do a little visualization or something, you know, to bring it back to now and get into the body, but I was like, oh no, I've only got 20 minutes, so I got a little bit in my head there, and then I kind of flailed, you know,
yeah.
about the direction.
Yeah.
I think I said at one stage, you know, this is a great point and I'd love to pull it out, and I wanted to, but it wasn't to what she said she wanted to get from the session. So that's another thing too. It's like, because I find something interesting, it doesn't mean that that's what the client wants to receive. So, yeah, I was a bit stuck there.
Yeah, 100%. So, I could, like, I think your instincts are really good. There was something deeper, there. And I could feel at some point, like you did so well in the session. It was great, but I could feel you were like grappling with, what are some questions that that I can ask here. I have some suggestions for that, and we'll get to that because I want to hear from other people as well. But one thing I want to just say right now is I think that if you would have pressed for just another minute or two in the beginning on clarifying what she really wanted by the end of the call, it may have been easier for you. So what you finally got to was that she said, I want to see what's realistically true here. And then she said something, she said, you know, I need evidence that it's going to work. Are people going to spend money on it? And you beautifully reflected that back to her. But even for me, I was like, but what exactly does that mean? That by the end of the call, she wants to see what's realistically true.
Yes. That's been a great highlight. Thank you, Joanna. Because I was like, why didn't I get there? And it's like, I spent time, but not enough time at the beginning.
Yeah. It's like the parameters were almost defined, but not totally defined. You know, where I would have wanted to make a connection is like, what she thinks is security, is that actually true, right? But it may have been something else that she really wanted to go for. So that's I think would have helped a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Okay, so let's build on that. Start two. What are some things that you may have done differently if you were coaching, or what are some things that you might want to ask Suzanne around why she did, you made a particular choice that she made. So star two, what's something that you may have done differently, or what are some questions that you have, Suzanne, around some choices that she made in the conversation? Who's this? 0992.
That's me. This is Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi. Yeah, related to what you were just saying about the security piece, like I really wanted to know more just about her feelings and thoughts around safety and security, and specifically how they related to money and her money story, because that financial piece kept coming up over and over. And so some of the questions that I wanted to ask, let me just look back through. Wanting to ask, like, has there been a time in your life when you did not have enough money? And sort of looking into that some more, asking where did she learn this general feeling of not being safe or secure financially? And sorry, I'm just looking through my notes. And then like trying to shift that a bit in terms of like asking her, like, what does it mean for you to be safe and secure, and sort of like digging down to the depths of that and asking her, like, in what ways are you already experiencing that, to try to decouple that from money and finances.
Yeah. I love all of that. Getting deeper into just like what, and I don't think you said this exactly, but implied in some of the questions, like what, you even just defining what security is, and then how that relates to the money piece, and then where are the origins of these patterns, all of those pieces, I think, depending on time of session, but could have led to some important places. Good. Christine.
This is, I found, there was a lot of intersectionality here in terms of issues. So things, how I would have done it differently, I would have started the same thing with the security, and what exactly does security mean? And then in terms where she was talking about how she's been taking these courses, and because she's looking for security, what about those courses did she believe would bring security, and then where were they lacking, so that we could get a better understanding of, through that route, what is it that she's really looking for in terms of security. connecting in with the Y self and the inner child to see what they had to say about where she really wanted to go. And I kept feeling like I wanted to bring her down more into her body and her feelings to really access what was important to her, as opposed to going off of sort of this idea, like it felt like there was sort of a discrepancy or a conflict between what Chow maybe believes she's looking for, or like that is up in her head, and maybe not giving herself permission to really look into what does she really want. And through that, you know, what is her ideal vision? So if she had security, if she, you know, could keep doing what she's doing, and what does she like about what she's doing? What is working about what she's doing? What's not working about what she's doing? And what would that ideal vision be? And then we could look at sort of how do we get there. But yeah, there were, depending on what the answers to each of those things were.
Yep, going in those.
I may have gone in different directions.
Yeah, yeah. But, so many great things in what you just said. I want to pull out the piece about being in her head. I think April mentioned that earlier as well. And I just want to bring it back to the four levels of learning and transformation. First of all, did you guys notice Cho was mostly in her head in that conversation? Now, because I know Cho a little bit, I can tell you, Cho is incredibly smart. She is highly intelligent. She just has a very high functioning mind and intellect, which is a beautiful thing. And the Achilles heels of that, and this is good to know, you know, about clients who are with SMART, is it's a great asset, but also they tend to be in their head more than in their heart or their soul or their body. And we want to be aware of that when we hold space for them, when we're coaching them. Because of all of the reasons for the four levels of learning and transformation. So if you have an air client, you know, we can call it, or like a mind, you know, a highly smart, like intellect client, you do want to look for the places where, number one, because they're so smart, they know themselves so well, they're already giving the answers that they already know, right? but not taking it in on a deeper. It's great for when clients say things they already know, only if they're open on a, in a deeper place in their body to receive that truth more deeply, you know, versus clients that are just so smarty pants and they're saying what they already know. We want to kind of be aware of that, so that we can ask questions or shift our energy to bring them into some of the other levels of learning and transformation. Awesome, thank you. Who else? Before I share, Star 2, anything else that you might have done differently? Lisa.
Hi, yeah. When, and I know this is a serious time constraint with just the 20 minutes, but I felt very curious about when she talked about writing about the cannabis and CBD, it kind of led into the idea of exploring what would be a return on investment for some of the things that she decides to do, because that, to me, I had a sense that that just really pulled her way off her expertise. I don't know what her book was about, but, you know, like what her area of expertise was. It just felt like to me, I'd be curious to find out more if this was just a serious pull off to the side that would use her time and energy in a way that doesn't give her the return of investment that she's looking for.
Agreed. That was on my mind as well. The again, I agree, you know, if there was more time in the session, I think there was a piece there around, and it relates back to the security And, you know, back to what Stephanie was saying, even though you didn't use these words, Stephanie, like scarcity mindset and scarcity thinking, when we just kind of like grab, you know, take any opportunity that comes our way, you know, number one, it's like to try to feel that feeling of security that she's talking about that clearly is so elusive for her. And it's just like, junk food, maybe she's taking these opportunities, but it's not fulfilling in that way, right? So to bring some more awareness.
So the question I wrote in for that in the moment was, what if you say no to something? Some kind of playing with that in some way, but that was what, like, just bam.
I like that question. What I would say is, possibly a stronger question in the context of the entire conversation and what, and in the context of what she wanted to receive, might be to use the word security in the question. So, how, you know, when you took on this job, or when you said yes to this opportunity, how did that relate to your desire for security?
That's beautiful. You're so talented.
You got it. You have the right instincts. You just want to slow it down and think about the words.
Yeah, no, it's just making notes while I was following the conversation, and that's, I like the way you brought in security with that idea. So
good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Star two. Anything that you might do differently or anything that you would want to ask Suzanne? All right. I will share a couple more things related to, you know, what Suzanne and I were talking about just a few minutes ago about, you know, getting to some of these deeper pieces. So first of all, you asked a series of questions that were yes or no questions, and I think some more open-ended questions may have gotten you farther. So I didn't get all the words, but one of the yes or no questions was, is there something with the money aspect and the financial returns? I didn't get the rest of the words, but it was just like, it was a little bit of a dead end question because, and Cho paused when you asked it, and she was kind of like, yeah, duh, yes. And then similar to, you know, is there fear about not getting return over time? Some other questions that may have helped go a little deeper, and I was actually grasping for some words on these questions too. I'm not sure if it's because we didn't totally get to the target in the intentions, but one question I wrote down was, you know, so it sounds clear that security hasn't come from more and more training that you've done. So what's another way of understanding security, or what would be another way of attaining security? Some other questions that I wrote down were, when they were talking about hoarding, what's the connection between hoarding and security? When the conversation came around to good enough, some questions I wrote down were, when will you believe that you're good enough? What would be at risk for you if you were to believe that you were good enough? Instead of taking another training, what would you do over the next 3 months if you believed that you were good enough? What actions are you avoiding by taking so many different trainings? And that could also, you know, you could tie that into a wheel of self-sabotage. It felt like that was another direction that could have been gone in this, like, training, security, like there's some kind of wheel of self-sabotage going on there that could possibly be clarified, and then look for ways to break the wheel. So let me bring it back to you for a moment. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I know this is a hard question to ask. You may or may not have an answer to it, but I'll just ask it anyway. Is there any place that you wish the conversation would have gone that it didn't go?
Well, I think I was looking for, I guess, a little more of a direct, okay, this is how you would know, like, in terms of, like, sorting through it, and of course there may not be an answer, as you said, there may not be, I became aware of, as convoluted as my process, it's the same process that I'm applying from one area to another, would be, like, what would be a better way, because I'm not going to stop, taking, I love learning new stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always going to be my, I know that.
Yeah.
The thing is that to, like, when to know when it's too much or not, like, what would be the, like the red flag or the green flag of, like,
yeah.
Yeah, to distinguish, like, when am I in that I need it, or
right.
Is it kind of that, like, no, this is a good thing. Like, this is
yeah.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. I love that you say you're never going to stop taking trainings. I totally get that, and I honor that in you, and I also love what you're saying is, like, there's a difference. It's like how you take the training also, right? Is it right? Is it appropriate? All of that. But also, am I taking it because I don't feel good enough and I think this is the thing that's going to save me, you know, versus taking the training but also taking action while you're taking the training because you know that you're good enough.
Yeah, that one of them, like, really is adding value versus afraid of losing value. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Or another way of saying it, tell me if I'm getting this right, is, like, taking a training motivated by desire and inspiration versus being motivated by fear and scarcity.
Right.
Yeah.
See, they kind of, like, they can flip. Like, it can
yes.
be interesting because whatever I'm interested in, I'm, like, super interested in.
Right.
And it could
Which
flip.
Is great.
You could easily slip into, oh my god, you know, like, and that I think also leads to the stuff I'm really interested in, and then I get it, I put it aside, and then I'm like, oh, I gotta, like, do something else that's really gonna, you know, make a difference. But yes, and then I have the ones that are kind of that I pushed off to the side, you know, temp, like, until the time I can get to them.
Yeah. What I really want for you, Cho, is, you know, whether you take more training certifications or not, is for you to really know that you have so much inside of you, like your level of asset and resource that you've already accumulated is massive. More than anybody needs to be successful, and there isn't another training that's going to save you. It may enhance,
mm-hmm.
But really you have more than enough to create what you want, and that persistent action will probably get you there quicker than another training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. we're almost at the end of our time for today. I'd love for everybody first to just write down what's something that you're taking from our call. What are you really taking for yourself? What are you really seeing that's important for you? And I'd love to hear a couple thoughts before we close, either takeaways or additional thoughts or questions that you have. So what are you seeing? What are you taking? Or what's on your mind? Star two. Who is this? 1490. Oh, that's Christine.
Yeah. So great call again, as always. Thank you to our volunteers and to you, Joanna, and everybody for everybody's input. For me, the biggest takeaway again, it's the same, similar to the last practicum, is just an increased confidence in or increased awareness that I know how to do this better than I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
And just being sort of really comfortable in that and confident that, really owning it, and at the same time being excited about the awareness that there still is more, like there's more practice, there's more mastery, there's more refinement, there's more, you know, that this is a continually evolving skill. But there's more to go, but I can be happy and confident and settled with what I know right now. Does that make sense?
Oh, so much. So I love it for two reasons. So first of all, yay. So happy to hear that you have confidence and that you can settle into what you already know. And second, I feel like what you're sharing in some ways is like a beautiful also extension of the work that Suzanne did with Cho. It's like good enough and always more, you know, and that we can hold both of those at the same time.
Perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else? We have 1 minute left. I'd love to hear from one more person. Star two, what are you taking for yourself? All right. Well, thank you, everybody, especially to Suzanne and Cho. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all of your everybody's wonderful contributions and thoughts and ideas. I am thinking about all of you, and I will see you next week. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.